Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Show number 87. Can you believe it? We made it this far. But oh well, we're here to stay. So folks, glad you are joining us here at Why Fish Radio. I'm your host, Brad. I'm going to be solo this week, kind of. Going to be joined here later on by a repeat visitor, or felon, or whatever you want to call him on this show, Lynn Schlater from the North Dakota Game and Fish. Couple of business items. I suppose we should pay the bills before we get anywhere through here. Why Fish every week is brought to you by Cats on the Red in Lockport. Walleyes are moving in, so get booked up there. Catsonthered.net. Don't forget booking your next year's adventure on the Red River out of Grand Forks with Ken Hollins at Trophy Cat Adventures. Just like I tell you every week, trophycatadventures.com. And Today's Tackle. Lots of fun gadgets. I'm sure there's going to be some new and great stuff coming out here, coming into the ice fishing season. Last item of business before I get Lynn on the horn here is something that's kind of interesting, and I want everybody to wish the best here, is John Falk, a friend of ours on Why Fish and pro staff member over on the forum, has recently gone to Iraq with the Air Force. And so wish him the best of luck. He wants lots of emails. He's actually running a blog through our site, or soon to be through our site. For now, if you want to read his updated blogs, just go to esoxpirate.blogspot.com. And he's updating that every few days or whenever he has time. So Esox, here's to you, buddy. And we'll... yeah, you'll get a kick out of this one. Lynn's sitting here writing me notes, folks. And he says, tell Esox to go trolling with an F-16. So, John, there you go. There's your challenge, and I'd like to videotape the catch. Trolling with an F-16 in the Euphrates. But enough joking on now. On to business. We're going to talk aquatic nuisance species with Lynn Schlater from the North Dakota Game and Fish. We've had this conversation probably about three times now on this show, and if you like it or hate it, too bad, because it's that important that we're going to keep bringing him back, and we're going to keep talking about this with updates and things. So, Lynn, welcome back to Why Fish Radio once again.
Thank you, Brad. It's nice to be back. One of the things I really want to point out, and you've made the real good entry to into it. This problem is here. It's not going to go away. If we ignore it, it's going to bite us. And if we get bit, we're not going to get rid of it. So this is important. It seems to be playing again and again. Maybe if we hear it often enough, some people out there will finally take it to heart. So away we go with this. So what do you need to know from me, sir?
Well, Lynn, I talked to you a little before we hit the record button, and you know, you've done some sampling around the state here in 2006. What exactly were you looking for when you were doing this sampling?
What we did is we sent a crew out. One or two guys went out, and they were looking for aquatic nuisance species. Now, within that group falls the plants, the animals, the invertebrates. So they were out there, and they actually took vegetation samples from within the lake, sorted out, what do we have? They had dip nets. They were swooshing around in the shallows looking for those little bitty hard-shelled snails, crayfish, etc. They were also doing bottom samples where there was a firm bottom. They were dredging up, well, I hate to say it, a few beer cans, pop cans, anything hard and firm that a zebra mussel might attach to, and going through it. So they had a busy little afternoon when they hit a lake, but the good part is they did well over 80 lakes throughout North Dakota. The lakes that we looked at were those that we felt had a high likelihood of, if an infestation would start, this would be the point. What we did was we looked at information and biologist opinions of high use, high use by people that have either traveled out of state, came back in, or people that are visiting from other states. So these are the areas that we think we might need to be at. We were at. So we're very proud to say that we didn't find a thing.
Well, now we always hear from you and just in our general literature that you're looking for the zebra mussel, the Eurasian milfoil, and from time to time you're talking about carp infestation. Is there other things you were targeting on, or were those still the primary three?
Those are primary, but we also throw in there, as far as invertebrates, they talk about the Chinese or Japanese mystery snail. Those get big. They're a 3/4 inch or bigger. We're looking for those. That's the reason for the dip net. There's also some other freshwater mussels that are invaders. So we were looking for those with a post hole digger. The guy we had working for us, he wasn't that tall. So to reach bottom, we had to use a post hole digger. And that gets us down there. So those are the things we look for. To pick up the vegetation, we picked up samples. Yes, Eurasian water milfoil, curly leaf pondweed are the big ones. But we're also looking for those that have been identified in other Midwest states, the south end, that could be moving here. If we're going to stop some of these, we need to stop that infestation when it's just started. That pioneering community is what they talk about. It's the most sensitive to whatever we decide is the best way to keep it out or control it.
Well, the good news of the whole thing is you didn't find the zebra mussels. But unfortunately, over the past year or two, you have found some of this Eurasian milfoil stuff. Dead Colt Creek is one that I know we've talked about on this show. And you guys did some draining and some freezing or something with that. How's the success on that situation?
Great question. I had the chance to go up to a meeting and visit with a ANS biologist from Oregon, and they've got some problems there. What I found out is we are way ahead of what their game is. They said what we're doing is the best approach for the lake, for that Dead Coal Creek. They also said don't expect to get rid of it all in that 1 year. Well, what we did find out is that we got rid of, I would say, 99% of it. There's a few plants that have showed up again this fall. It's really becomes evident in the fall. It's one of those evergreen plants that grows in the fall and winter. Well, we found it when all the other competition died back. What we've got is a few in that upper water column in the shallows. About 2 foot deep is all they're showing up. We're looking at going back in and probably dropping that system again, just a few feet, not nearly as drastic as what we've done in the past. I'll expose that to North Dakota's winters, and face it, it's got to be hardy to get through 20 below. And we can do that, and if we may have to do this 3 or 4 years in a row, we may be able to well eliminate that.
There you go, folks. Cold North Dakota winters aren't all bad.
Yes, we get rid of all of those wimpy ones, because remember, we had 2 reports of piranha in North Dakota, but I'm really sure by the end of November I can eliminate all of the piranha that are free-ranging in North Dakota.
You know, that's an interesting point. There was 2 of those caught in the state this year.
Yes, there was.
And I suppose that would be considered ANS, would it not?
In North Dakota, the tropical fish are a very short-term ANS. November, we're out of that problem.
Yeah. Well, it was just something worth bringing up because it's so rare. I mean, to hear of one being caught, but 2 in the same season in this state is kind of odd. And they were both big, too.
Both big. One at the southeast corner and the other one at the southwest corner.
Either way, always a fun story. But, you know, if we were tropics, I suppose it would be considered a true ANS for our lakes, but it's not. So moving on. You've got the zebra mussels so far contained, the milfoil, you got a plan there. Overall, where do you think the state's at for the fall of 06, Lynn?
With the zebra mussels, we don't have them. That's the neat part. We are sampling hard. What we're looking for in the forecast is the public continuing to work with the public to educate them, to educate us, you, I, everybody that fishes or hunts. I'm going to throw the duck hunters in too, because they go from water body to water body, that there's a problem out there. We don't need the problem. Protection, prevention is key. It's cheaper and more effective than trying to eliminate it or keep it from being spread out of an area. So the future, what it looks for me, we're going to have another year of looking coming up. We're going to be working with the public. We're trying to keep it out. Now, the questions on what's coming.
Well, you're going to do your best to keep us involved, and I'm sure you'll be back. You know, another thing that's coming up, and you know more about this. We've kind of had some off-the-record conversations, so to speak, about it. But silver carp or something or other? Is that what it's called?
It's called the silver carp. It's Asian carp. They're referred to as the silver. The flying carp, the jumping carp. Yes, we've had some occasions taking a boat ride together, going fishing, kind of laughing. Wouldn't it be just hard to bear to think about a 40-pound fish rocketing out of the water and heading towards you? The term bowling for anglers comes to mind. So I don't look at that as anything that's pleasant. Getting hit in the head or the chest with 40 pounds of fish, owie. These things are out there, and they do pose a problem.
Where are they at this point in relation to us in the Midwest?
Right now, the big populations can be found over in the tribs to the Mississippi River and in South Dakota, the south end below Gavin's Point. They're there. There are a concern to us North Dakotans. Just think of this. Those things eat zooplankton. They're really good at it. They get high numbers. Lots of 40-pound fish. Okay? Zooplankton, the same thing paddlefish need. They get in the Missouri River up into Lake Sakakawea. They are directly compete with the paddlefish.
Which we all know are on a decline at this point in our lives.
They're declining. They need to be worked with. And one of the things is we can't let these invaders get in and really cause us problems. We could lose one wonderful recreational deal.
So now they're stuck below a dam. Is that what's holding them back at this point and at Gavin's Point?
Letting them free swim. That's what's holding them back. The one thing that may not hold them back is somebody who decides to move a few fish with them, either for bait or recreation or what. That's a concern that all of us have. Bait, where's it coming from? What is it? What's in that water? That's one of the avenues that we keep working with, how to prevent ANS in buckets. Be careful. Don't dump your bait bucket. Make sure what you bait you have is legal. Best way in the world, buy it locally.
Well, that's a given anyways, is buy it when you get to town. I mean, everybody says support the community you're fishing in. Well, there you go. Perfect example. Stop at the bait shop. God knows we're within about 5 blocks of about 6 of them, I think. So anyway, I think that's going to cover it for ANS this week. Lynn is also, if you recall to the first time he was on, a big cat guy. And since you're sitting here, I'm going to ask you, I know you've been to Lockport here recently with Stu and the boys. Any good stories to tell?
Well, let's put it like this. We took up a newbie, a guy, one of his first trips up there. We got into the shallow water. We got him to picking up catfish on bobbers. And shall we say, he kind of wonders about other fishing now. He is hooked on the splash and thrash of a big cat.
As we all are, as we all are. Well, folks, that's going to do it for Why Fish this week. Lynn, thanks again for joining us. I'm sure you'll be back many, many more times. And since the other Brad isn't here, I guess I'm going to have to take his line. That's going to conclude this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. Until next time, keep your hook in the water, your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to flyfishradio.com.